On today's show, Locked On Rockets Film Room is back. It is the reunion you've all been waiting for. Ali Khanbijani is back to help break down some of what's going on with your Houston Rockets. Ali Khan, what's up?
Hey, Jackson. Hey, everybody. Nice to be back here, back home. Familiar territory, so let's get started.
We've got the Rockets offensive turnaround, a breakdown on Alperen Şengün, how Şengün and Christian Wood can or maybe not be able to work together on the floor together, coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, the best and only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, as well as the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. And here, back for the reunion we've all been dying for, I finally was able to track him down, one Ali Khanbijani, writer for The Athletic. Houston, the X's and O's guru himself, back here for a Locked On Rockets film room session. What's up, Ali Khan? How you doing?
Hey, Jackson. It's been a very, very hard, few months for me personally. Just dealing with a lot of stuff going on, at home. So a lot of people have been asking kind of where's Ali Khan at? I'm here. I'm going to be trying to be more regular. Try to, keep up with Locked On Rockets film room, try to give you guys some good content over the next weeks and over the course of the season. I just wanted to say sorry for not being there this early on the season. It's been a very up and down season to start I apologize for not being there early on, but we'll be trying to provide better coverage here from here on out. And I appreciate you guys sticking with me and kind of checking in on me. I have a lot of fans checking in on me to see how I'm doing. So I really appreciate that. And really appreciate Jackson's friendship and support as well. He's been big for me personally with everything that's been going on. So, but I'm glad to be here and glad to talk some Rockets basketball.
Yeah, man, look, first off, you don't owe anybody any level of any kind of apologies for anything, Ali Khan. But with that said, we're happy to have you back. We're happy to hear from you. The Rockets, media landscape is better when you are involved in it, and we are all better for it. So with that, we're going to dive in because we got a lot of ground to cover in this episode. And I guess the number one place to start is the Houston Rockets suddenly look like a legitimate basketball team, right? They completely turned things around, and they were in the bottom tier. They were the worst offensive thing. There's no sugarcoating it. There's no candy coating it. None of that. They were the worst.
You could be honest. They were not fun to watch.
They weren't. It was a chore to watch them play. There wasn't, the excitement. There wasn't the, enthusiasm behind this team. That 15-game losing streak was rough. They turned it around. They were the worst ranked offense in the entire NBA through 17, 18 games or so. Over these last 10 games, where the Rockets are now 8-2 across these last 10, they had the 7-game win streak. They lost the 2 games on the back-to-back against the Bucks and the Grizzlies, and then they had the huge come-from-behind win against the Atlanta Hawks. They are now the third-rated offense in the entire NBA across that stretch of 10 games. What has stood out the most to you, Ali Khan? We've highlighted, obviously the spacing has been one of the biggest changes to this Rockets offense, but I know that you're seeing things that we're probably not. So what has stood out to you over this stretch of games for the Houston Rockets?
It's just they're playing smarter basketball. You have rookies, but you're playing hard, but you're also playing smart. I think that's one thing Steven Silas said. Even, of course, during that 15-game losing streak, the team was playing hard, but they had to play smarter. And you're seeing those slight things that they've learned over time through film, through the assistant coaches and walkthroughs, through practice. They're just playing smarter basketball. One of the biggest complaints I saw early on, especially on Rockets Twitter, Reddit, places like that, was why isn't Steven Silas calling any plays? The thing is, when you're establishing a new offense for a young team, you want to establish a foundation. And he had the foundation last season, and he had to kind of re-go through an introduction of that this season with a lot of the young players here. And it's not that he's not calling any plays. He's establishing a structure. You have actions that lead into plays. And, you know, that's how the season started. In all honesty, those same actions, they're running now, but they're running a lot more successfully just because of the experience, just because of, let's be honest, the changes with the double big lineup not being there. You have more space playing five out. You can play five out as effectively as you need to. And those same sets they were running with the double big lineup, they're running now. And without the double big lineup, a lot more space and just playing a lot more smarter because there's more room to operate. So there's a lot of things that go into it. But, you know, honestly, for me, besides just X's and O's, it comes down to playing hard, but also playing smart and just having those opportunities without that double big lineup in the way.
You know, you're talking about playing smarter, harder, all of those things. I think that something that stood out to me, even like you said, kind of past just the X's and O's, is it seems like it's been this building momentum of like success for this Rockets team as they finally were able to like, you know, break the lid off and finally get that first win against the Bulls. And then it was just that level of confidence. You started to see guys trusting each other more on the court, making plays for each other, making the right reads. And I think that's been kind of the staple of this team over these last 10 or so games is not just the X's and O's, but they're finally like trusting each other. They're making plays for each other. Everybody is passing, moving the ball well. Everybody is able to create offense for one another on the floor. It's not just one guy or two guys creating everything off of one simple like pick and roll action. It's attacking the defense, getting the defense in rotation, all those different things to create these really quality opportunities for either themselves or for their teammates.
Yeah, it's, you know, in basketball, there's two halves in the half quarters, the strong side versus the weak side. And it used to be early on the season where the Rockets would run their initial action and nothing would happen on the weak side. They would get stagnant. They would try to isolate and post up a small and, you know, go from there. They're doing those same things now. They're trying to take advantage of mismatches. But what's working for them is the fact that they're having that weak side movement. They're doing things. They're playing within the offense. We talked about this last year, Jackson and Locked On Rockets film room. And there's three different types of roles for a big in this offense. If you're in the slot, you're going to try to cut inside during isolations or possessions from the weak side, you know, participate in offensive rebounding. If you're in the corner, you're going to draw away that big from the paint. So your team has more driving lane. If you're at the top of the key, you're going to get involved in the offense. But all of those roles involve you being involved in the play beyond having the basketball in your hands, being moving, you know, creating open space just with your rotations and just your placement on the floor, your spacing. That was missing, especially early on in the season. Now you have Christian Wood. You have Jayshon Tate. They're playing to their strengths, but they're also playing to the offense's strengths, and it's allowing everybody else to open up. And second, Danny, you make a great point, the concept of trust. I mean, it's fundamental in basketball. You have to be able to trust your teammates, and once that happens, it's infectious, which is why they're averaging close to 30 assists per game. I mean, they've looked incredible from that way. One duo I want to kind of talk about the highlight that is Armani Brooks. And if you want to use Sengun or if you want to use Christian Wood. But Armani Brooks is somebody who can put the ball on the floor and drive. And he's had moments to me where, you know, he would come off those staggered sets or those kind of pin downs or flares where he would shoot threes. And that's always been there. But now teams know he can shoot. It's in the scouting report. So what does he have to do? He has to be able to put the ball on the floor or put it through a needle and get it to a big on the roll. And he's learning how to use that. He's learning to be deceptive. The screen and roll game or the DHO dribble handoff game with the big is working so well. So instead of initially just, you know what, even though I'm contested, I'm going to shoot the ball. It's, you know what, I'm drawing in the defense. Let me make that bounce pass. The big makes a pass on the short roll. The ball movement is infection. It goes from there. Those are the best types of possessions. Ball movement usually happens when you break down a defense. If you're switching, it's really tough to do that because you can take a team out of its rhythm. But if you're shooting well because your ball movement's great, you know, defenses will likely put two on the ball, and that's what the Rockets are taking advantage of during this 10-game stretch.
I'm glad you brought up the point about Armani Brooks because both Armani Brooks and I think Garrison Matthews have both done an excellent job of utilizing their gravity as shooters, and not just as shooters, but as mobile shooters, right? They relocate themselves within the offense so well that they're realizing when defenses are overplaying them and how to just, you know, create a quick little slip for like an easy backdoor two at the rim or something like that. Or as you illustrated with Armani Brooks, I've noticed that same point that you brought up, the willingness to put the ball on the floor and attack defenses when they're overplaying him outside of those pin downs, outside of those DHO sets. So I'm happy you're highlighting that because I've noticed that growth in Armani Brooks's game. And he has been a big part of the Rockets' success over these last 10 games or so. But I want to dive into, we got to get to the guy that everybody wants to hear about right now, which is none other than the Wizard himself, Alperen Şengün, and just how impressive he has been over this stretch for the Houston Rockets. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Stance. Founded in 2009, Stance Apparel represents a radical reinvention of socks, underwear, and active apparel. With a sharp focus on comfort, quality, and creativity, Stance brings an atypical aesthetic alongside some of pop culture's hottest collaborators for the ultimate in style and self-expression. Because look, everything you wear should be a direct extension of who you are and how you feel. Some of the collaborators that Stance has, I mean, they're incredible. Wu-Tang Clan, Batman, The Goonies, Star Wars, Office, Harry Potter, Disney, Marvel, MLB, NBA, you name it, Stance probably has a partnership with them. Stance believes that the perfect fit matters more than fitting in, that those who feel good do good. Go see for yourself. Register for an account at stance.com and get 15% off your first purchase using promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at checkout. Enjoy the color and comfort of a life less ordinary with Stance. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. We appreciate you making Locked On Rockets your first listen of the day. Now, we're going to continue on here in our Locked On Rockets film room breakdown, and we're going to dive into Alperen Şengün, who has just been an absolute wizard with the basketball. It seems like every single game he does something impressive, something jaw-dropping, and overall it's just his approach to the game that stands out for a 19-year-old kid to be able to process the game the way that he does, to understand how to, you know, find mismatches, how to find his teammates, all these different things that he brings to the table for this Houston Rockets team. What has been the biggest thing that has stood out about Alperen Şengün's game to you, Ali Khan?
You know, we all can talk about the playmaking. I think that's a very easy thing to point out. It's an important thing to point out, which is why he gets those baby Joker comparisons. For me, I'm going to focus on his screening. And why is that important? You know, screening is as important. You know, when I look at the pick and roll, and then you have obviously the screen, it's hard screen, and you have the roll, or you can do whatever you want. It's the most dangerous play in basketball for that reason. There's so many options. But what he does as a screener, especially at a dribble handoffs, when he's waiting for that guard, especially those guard with quick steps like Eric Gordon or Jalen Green, which is why he's so successful with them, to come around the corner. Why he's so good is because he uses his body, he contorts his body to create extra space, not only for him, not only for the ball handler, but for himself as well. And what I mean by that is he loves to be able to operate from that high post extended area, not just whenever he has the ball in his hands, but after he sets the screen. He makes that little small hesitation where he's not rolling. He looks back, moves parallel with the ball handler, but looks back at the ball handler and has his hands like this because he's waiting for the ball in case somebody's open. He can be that valve to pass it over to somebody else. And I really love watching him just set screens throughout the course of a game, just out of those dribble handoffs, because that's what opens up a lot of the stuff for those Rocket shooters. Like you talked about last segment, Garrison Matthews, Armani Brooks, Jalen Green, which is why he's so effective with Jalen Green out of those options. They're able to use his ability to set screens and kind of create a driving lane a la Daniel Tice whenever he likes to shield away the paint for a ball handler. Şengün does that at a dribble handoffs, and that creates all sorts of advantages for his teammates.
You know, you would have been so proud of me. I spent a whole like 3 to 4 minutes like just hammering home the notion that I love watching Armani Brooks and Alperen Şengün operate in those little dribble handoff sets, because it's almost like they're doing the tango together. Like, because there are multiple times where like Armani gets the first dribble handoff and it's not quite there, so then he resets it and they'll go back and forth a couple different times trying to find like just that sliver of an opening, because that's really all the space that Armani Brooks needs to be able to get the shot off, or again to create the, you know, the advantage, the mismatch to then drive the ball into the hole. So I'm glad you bring up his screening. Is there an area of his game, though, that you feel like he's, I mean, we've kind of seen him be used in a variety of ways, right? He's being used as a screener. He's being used in the high post and the low post. Do you feel like there's an area that you've seen enough of out of his game to know, okay, this is where he is the most effective right now?
Just as a decision maker at the five. I mean, so just for those listening, I wish I could show it to you. You know, and like I said, I'm gonna start posting a lot more clips and kind of show Rockets fans on Twitter and kind of show Rockets fans what's going on. But the Rockets have different sets they like to use, different actions. You know, and a lot of some of them you may be familiar with, been following me and Jackson for a while. For example, 21 series or pistol action or delay. those are two common sets from the Mike D'Antoni era, where it's kind of, you know, usually involves two or three players on one side of the court offensively. But they're also running Chicago action, which is usually a pin down that can go into a dribble handoff. That's been a very common play. Flare actions at the top of the key, where the big is setting a flare screen at the top of the key for a shooter, comes off the pass and knock down a three, or will go into a pick and roll with the big. Those two additions have really allowed bigs to be good decision makers. And you're seeing Şengün, especially whenever he's playing with DJ Augustine or Eric Gordon, kind of be that secondary playmaker for that reason. He's hovering at the three-point line. He's like dribbling the ball with his left hand going one direction, then back with his right hand going the other direction and seeing who's open. If nothing's open, or if he sees the backline defense is not set, the big is not rotating into the paint, the weak side defender is not rotating in the paint, you guys see it every single game, at least once or twice a game. He's going to cut and go up for a layup himself because he has that freedom. They've already given him that freedom through practice and through the first few games of his career to be able to read the defense and go from there. And also, you're having the chance for him to set up out of the post up. So if he's handling the ball and running 21 series where, you know, he gets the ball at the top of the key, runs screen and roll, he's going to use his size and his ability to kind of put his butt down into the defender and get into the paint, draw a mismatch, draw a second double team. He has to do better. He does have a high turnover rate, especially when he's trying to pass out of double teams or pass out of the post. That will come better with time, especially when reading NBA defenses with the speed on the weak side. But just his thought process, what he's looking at, how he's using his eyes and his hands. There was that play yesterday, Jackson, where he faked the pass going down the baseline and then threw it cross court to a cutting Jayson Tate. I mean, that's a high-level read because he could have made that pass to the corner. I mean, don't discount it. If the guy makes a shot from over his head, he can make a pass down the baseline. So, you know, he's just doing things. He's making reads that make me really confident in him as a player. I was very confident in him when they first drafted him just because I thought that a guy with his experience, you know, would do some great things in the NBA because he's already won a Turkish League MVP. He already has a savviness. But he's showing that he's translating that really well, and his defense is also coming along as well with him, which is allowing him to be a good player.
Let's pull up, courtesy of Synergy, some stats right here for Alperen Şengün. I know you wanted to highlight a few things here, Ali Khan. So what stands out to you that you wanted to point out?
So first and foremost, people, let's look at his three-point shooting, right? I mean, you have to be able to, if you're going to play five out, or as many Rockets fans want, you got to start him next to Christian Wood. Oh, my God. You know, you have to be able to shoot the basketball effectively. So let's look at his three-point shooting. You know, out of – he's had – just according to Synergy, right, sometimes Synergy just does things manually in that way. He's shooting 36% almost on long shots, so three-point shots. Now, if we're looking at catch and shoot, he's shooting – let's look at that 10 of 29 from the field. On guarded shots, surprisingly, he's shooting pretty well. On unguarded shots, which is, you know, usually going to be wide open for him, 6 of 23. You know, he's got to get better at that. That does include some mid-range shots as well for him. But he has to be able to get better at knocking down those open threes. You know, there's possessions where I'll see him kind of dribble up and transition. You know, he's trying to initiate action, but if nothing's there and the defender's playing off of him, he'll just pop a three. You know, it's Şengün. You know, he's feeling himself to do it. But he has to be able to hit those open shots, especially if he wants to be effective next to Christian Wood. Jackson, what stands out to you whenever you're looking at these?
I want to actually drive down and see these isolation numbers, because you highlighted the point about, you know, his ability to read the defense when he's at the top of the key, kind of waiting to see if somebody's, you know, going to be available coming to him for a dribble handoff play, and how he reacts to the defense when the big isn't paying attention and drives and cuts in. So if I'm looking at his driving numbers, he's got multiple possessions. His drives to the basket down here under the ISO situation, 11 of 12 for, right? If I'm reading that number right, am I reading this right? I want to make sure, because you're the Synergy expert, not me, right?
This is more so when he drives right, which is obviously where he's the most effective, is driving right, and clearly you can back it up. But yeah, so it's out of those 11 possessions, they've scored 12 points. So it's almost 1.1 points per possession, which is around the 48th percentile across the league. So that's what, when you see that stat, that's what you're looking at. So if we're going across that row, and if Jackson, if you could hover over it, it's that row that says drives to the basket towards the bottom of the screen. And for those who are not watching us on YouTube, let me just make sure I can better explain what's going on too. So there's different stats you see from Synergy to go through Alper and Şengün offensively. I want to kind of just give an overview for the audience. The stat that Jackson is pointing out is about his drives, and especially the direction in which he drives in isolation possessions. So the stat that Jackson is pointing out is in 11 possessions where he's chosen to drive right in isolation, the Rockets have scored 12 points or 1.1 points per possession, which is 48th percentile. So out of those possessions, almost half of those possessions, he draws a shooting foul. Almost 64% of those possessions end up in terms of the Rockets scoring some sort of points. So he's doing an excellent job, especially when he's driving to the basket, driving right. And it kind of goes back to that point Jackson Wild was making earlier, where if he's running the offense at the top of the key, he has that freedom, right, to be able to shoot the gap and kind of go on his own towards the rim, depending on the backline defense, if that low man is there or not. And so he's taken advantage of that, and he's been pretty good at it.
We've got his defensive stats down here too as well. I think somewhere. Do we not have defensive stats in here? I thought you gave me defensive stats, Ali Khan.
I think I did. Now I think this could be his defensive stats.
There it is.
Yeah. And I'm just going to open it up on my screen just to double check and make sure, but I'm pretty confident. Pick and roll ball handler. He's 18th percentile. That's what it shows on the screen, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, this is where I've been actually very impressed. Now, the stats are interesting. When he's defending the pick and roll ball handler as the big, 18th percentile. So, you know, teams are shooting 52% against him whenever he's the big defending pick and rolls. Now, when he's defending the roll man, which is more so when he's in drop coverage, he's pretty good, 67 percentile. You know, teams are only shooting around 38% against him out of those situations, which is pretty good for a big. You know, he plays hard. He's getting into the right spots. He's drawing offensive fouls. And so that's why when you're looking at that specific stat in particular, he draws a turnover almost 6 to 10% of the possessions. So, you know, that's doing good. Where he has to get better at, and I think he will over time, is on post-ups, especially against more athletic bigs like a Giannis, who, you know, he had some good showing there. Isolation, he's, you know, around 37 percentile, pretty average. And in terms of isolation, teams are shooting 40% on him. They score out of 42% of those possessions in terms of isolation. He's actually been pretty decent. He hasn't been bad, which, you know, goes and lands into the argument that many Rockets fans are making. Let's start Alper and Şengün next to Christian Wood. But most importantly, it's going to come down to, can he defend a guard out of pick and roll? And I'm seeing those moments. I've seen where he gets in the spots. He's trying to play smart. He keeps his – if you're watching me on YouTube, I have my hands out, just how teams had their hands out against James Harden, out and wide. And, you know, he does that whenever he's in possession. He crouches down, and sometimes you'll see him do this with his hands where it's like, talk, come on, guys, you got to talk in the background. Because he's trying to – he knows he can't stop them one-on-one, but he can funnel them or guide them towards where the help defense is going to be for the rotation. So just in terms of his IQ, that's been there, and the stats kind of back it up from the eye test.
Coming up, I want to talk a little bit about that pairing that we've alluded to a couple times now so far in this episode. Alper and Şengün, Christian Wood. Can those two guys coexist? Can they work together on the basketball floor? We'll get there after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. As always, BetOnline has you covered all season for more props, odds, and lines than ever before across basketball, football, everything. They've got it over at BetOnline. It remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head over to their new updated website. Sign up today using promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% bonus on your very first deposit. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And another message from our friends over at Built Bar, because this holiday season you can grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Honestly, even better than a candy bar. That's Built Bar, filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in amazing chocolate, but low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. So many flavors to choose from. You're going to have a hard time choosing, right? Raspberry, mint chocolate brownie, double chocolate, cookies and cream, peanut butter brownie, my personal favorite, coconut brownie chunk. Can't go wrong with a single flavor on their menu. You can check them out. Just visit built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off anything site-wide at built.com. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. We thank you for making Locked On your first listen of the day. For your second listen, go check out Locked On Fantasy Basketball. If you care about fantasy hoops at all, you've got to go check out our guy, the in-house fantasy expert, Josh Lloyd. Go check out Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Now, Ali Khan, let's get to the burning question at the forefront of every Rockets fan's mind, because I've gotten questions, comments blown up in the mentions and the YouTube comments everywhere, right? One, like you said earlier, why isn't Alperen Şengün starting? That one's under like every podcast episode. Two is, can Alperen Şengün and Christian Wood coexist on the basketball floor? Can they work together? I have my thoughts on this, and we're going to probably go back and forth about this and you know, potentially debate it a little bit. Give me your preliminary thoughts on that pairing and how that can work on the floor.
So this type of question, I'm not trying to escape the answer to the question. But I want to bring up some additional questions that I want Rockets fans to look at. And maybe you and I can discuss this in the next episode or two, Jackson, next week or the week after when we have more data. And you said this on, I think it was yesterday, or it was an episode or two ago. You talked about they already have too much data on Daniel Tice. We need some more data on Alperen Şengün. Right, you said that a few days ago. I think, if I'm not mistaken, you talked about
it. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, we have 15 games worth of data to know that the Daniel Tice Christian Wood pairing doesn't work.
Well, you know, I want to throw out some things. If Alperen Şengün and Christian Wood are to work, is Christian Wood the four or the five defensively? Is he the four or the five offensively? Is he gonna have the ball in his hands offensively? Is he just gonna be primarily a spot up shooter offensively? Is he gonna be the pick and roll big offensively? I'll be honest with you. Right now, Şengün is better on the ball, especially as an offensive player, not just with the ball in his hands, but involved in the pick and roll action or the dribble handoff action, and kind of having Christian Wood play off of him more so than the other way around. The Rockets have tried. If you guys go back and watch the few minutes where Christian Wood and Alperen Şengün play together during the Atlanta Hawks game, you're going to see moments where the Rockets start the possession with Christian Wood on the ball as a screener. And then if that doesn't work, then Christian Wood kind of spaces out and kind of draws in the defense so Alperen can be that initial screener or that offensive kind of engine or hub for them. So I'm really interested in seeing, those are the questions I have right now for that. Defensively, I asked, you know, is Christian Wood going to be the four or five? What is Al P going to do? Is he good off the weak side? Can he shore up a weak side defense? Is he better on the ball as a defender where you want him defending against bigs? Or do you want him on the weak side kind of defending against shooters? These are things that the Rockets will learn over time. They're learning right now. But, you know, ultimately, they're also trying to protect him as well a little bit, right? You know, he's a rookie. He's playing against bigs. He's been dominating bigs for the most part in the second unit. He's had great flashes. Don't get me wrong. He's had great flashes against bigs in starting units. And he did a great job yesterday closing out the game for the Rockets. You know, doing a good job against their smaller team, even against Clint, John Collins, things like that. So he's showing flashes there. And when given the opportunity, he's showing you to take advantage of that. But he has to show that even if he's not getting called for the foul, that he can play smart and aggressive without being too handsy. And I think he's doing that. He's trying that. He's doing a good job of trying to not foul. But as a rookie, he has to be a little bit more smarter and put a little more attention to detail to be able to kind of get out of that. And I think as that happens, he will get more playing time and go from there. This is not me talking to the coaches about this. This is not me asking Steven Salas. This is just me from my personal opinion. I think they're trying to protect him a little bit, you know, at least early on. I know Rockets fans, you're gonna attack me. I know he's playing well. I'm not saying he's not playing well. He's the one rookie. You know, I love watching just because of how smart he is. You know, the way I watch him is the way I watched Jayshon Tate last year. Just make smart plays on the court. You know where everybody is. You know what to do offensively. You play like an extension of the coaching staff on the court. Şengün does that, but he's also a rookie and he's a young player, 19 years old. Even though he's played a lot in Turkey, he's a young player. He will make mistakes and you have to allow him to make those mistakes, but you can't allow those mistakes to also harm everyone else on the court. I'm not saying that's happening, but that's also the conversations I'm sure the coaches must be having in terms of defensively, kind of getting him ready to be able to play next to Christian Wood, getting him ready to play in those closing lineups. And I'm just going to throw out a stat there. This has no indictment on Christian Wood, no indictment on Alperen Şengün. during this 10-game streak, the Rockets have played Christian Wood and Alperen Şengün pairing in six of those 10 games. Their net rating in those games is a minus 1.7. They've been 8-2 in these games, one of the best offenses in the league. They've had a good net rating, but the Şengün-Wood pairing is a minus 1.7. I don't think it has to do anything with coaching. I don't think it has any indictment on those two as players. Just think it's going to take some time to figure it out. And if that's the case, let's just be patient, guys. You know, we're barely a fourth into the season. We have a long way to go. Let's have some of these questions answered. And I think by the end of the season, you'll know if this is a legitimate pairing that could be a future front court for this team moving forward. Jackson, what do you think? Based off my
First off, their net rating for the year, which is even more atrocious, unfortunately, is a minus 12.9. So that doesn't exactly do them any favors. I know you're trying to help them out a little bit by just going over the last 10 games or so. I will say that I think it was, and you'll have to help me remember this. It was either, because I went back to look, it was either the home game against the Magic or the home game against the Pelicans, in which the Rockets broke out the pairing of Alperen Şengün and Christian Wood for small stretches. They started Steven Silas started going back to the double bigs just a little bit. You know,
it was a Magic game. I'm pretty confident it's a Magic game. Yeah.
And I remember asking post game, I asked Christian Wood, when you and Alp are sharing the floor together, who's the screener? Who's the guy playing off ball? How do you guys decide that inside of a game? And Christian Wood says it's very situational. You know, it depends on who the trail big is on a specific possession. But he did follow up by saying, I think it's better when Alp is involved in the action, when he has the ball in his hands because of his passing. And so to me, that stands out as a moment to think about when you're trying to figure out, can this pairing work going forward? Is if Christian understands what Alp brings to the table as a facilitator and the level of, I guess, proficiency that he has with the ball in his hands to be able to create for, you know, himself, to create for his teammates. If Christian Wood understands how to harness that and play off of that to make his life easier, then I don't really have many questions about whether or not this duo can work together offensively. I think the biggest question, as you alluded to already, was, how can they work together defensively? What is that matchup going to look like? But I think one area that I've pushed back on quite a bit this season is when it comes to like spacing and the way this Rockets offense has looked at times, even though defenses at times treat Şengün as a non-shooter, he's not, you know, a detriment to floor spacing because of the different ways that he can approach and attack an opposing defense, right? Because of his passing, because of his ability to drive, his ability to put the ball on the floor and do so many different things with it, and to also be utilized in different areas of the court. So I think when you add all those things together, there isn't this worry that a double big lineup of Şengün and Christian Wood is going to become as stagnant or, you know, bog down the offense the same way that a Daniel Theis Christian Wood lineup does. Because Daniel Theis, unfortunately, this isn't a knock on him as a player. He's a great player, good at what he does, but he does not bring the offensive versatility that Alperen Şengün does. So I have no questions about that fit and whether or not it can work together offensively, especially if Christian Wood is bought into the mentality that he doesn't have to have the ball in his hands and that Alp can create for the offense when he's on the floor. Defensively, though, I don't have enough data points and I don't have enough, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in that duo defensively. I think individually, Wood has had some moments where he stood out defensively, but that's kind of been at the five spot. I think he has some weaknesses when he's guarding opposing fours and when he's, you know, as the weak side defender, that kind of thing. And then Alp, same thing. He's had some moments where he's looked really good as an individual defender, but how does he look when he's operating with another big on the floor for extended minutes? And we just don't have the answers to those questions right now, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's going to take some time, guys. Let's give this Rockets team a little bit. They're playing well. And I don't think it's as important for him to start as it is for him to be able to finish. That only happens whenever he does not foul as much and he can stay in the game without fouling. The game against Atlanta was a great first step for him and showing that he can play smart, he can play hard, and he can be able to impact the game defensively without having to foul out and playing with five fouls. Let's see a few more games of that. I'm pretty confident that he will, you know, be in situations where he's closing the game with Christian Wood. I think Steven Silas does a great job of rewarding the players who are playing the best at the later games to have them close. It would not surprise me over a large sample size if Christian Wood and Alperen Şengün are two of those best five players on the floor at the close of games. They've both shown they can be effective. Let's hopefully see if they can be effective together. I think right now the way the Rockets lineup is set up, where you usually have three guards, Tate and Wood, I would like to see that for the foreseeable future, just because I think it allows them to get off to a good start offensively, gets the whole team into a rhythm when they can do that, and then they can deploy Şengün and Wood together in the second half when they shorten their rotation a little bit. But for right now, I just think things are going well. You don't mess with something that's working, and you kind of go from there and see what happens.
Ali Khan, this has been a wonderful reunion here, getting back together, doing a Locked On Rockets film room. For people who potentially live under a rock and don't already follow you, let everybody know where to track you down at.
I just want to say to Rockets Twitter, I haven't been able to, be as active or involved this season just with everything going on for me personally. But, it's been great to see the growth in Rockets Twitter. I feel like there's a lot of new Rockets fans that have come up on Twitter or just on Reddit or anywhere is really involved, just in the coverage for themselves, kind of independent content creation, or just, getting involved in the conversation. You love to see that, right? When I first joined Twitter back in 2013, it was a small community, but it was a very passionate community. And not only is now is Rockets Twitter, Rockets Reddit, or wherever you talk on about Rockets, not only is it passionate, but it's large and it's becoming a lot more vocal, which is great to see, a lot more independent content creation. So keep it up. I kind of want to start something, Jackson, where every week, when we do our show, I can highlight one, Rockets fan or Rockets Twitter account that I've been seeing do a pretty good job. There's one Twitter account. I don't even know if he's going to watch or not, but hopefully he does. We'll see. His at name is S-A-N-G Rockets, Sang Rockets. And his name, he goes by like Sang X Şengün. I think that's currently what it is. But, he's been posting some clips. He's been trying his best to get involved in the conversation. He's been responding well to different tweets and stuff. Been pretty impressed with kind of the way he knows his terminology and how he's getting involved in the conversation. So every week I want to be able to start pointing out a specific account I've been noticing over the season that's been doing a good job with kind of providing some of that content. So you as fans are able to get a lot more of a representative voice with what's going on. You guys already have Apollo. Apollo Houston's doing a great job with their basketball content. A lot of great guys there with the spaces, and you have the Godfather himself and Jackson Gatlin kind of doing everything. So, for Rockets fans, I think it's a great time to be involved, grow with the team, and kind of see what happens. But just for me, I'll talk about me last. You can follow me on Twitter at Rockets_insider. I have a lot of really cool announcements coming your way in terms of kind of what I'll be doing for the foreseeable future in terms of content. I'm not going anywhere in terms of athletic or anything, but just I have some good stuff coming for y'all. Please make sure to follow my colleague Kelly Eco on Twitter, Kelly Eco NBA. I'm pretty sure all of you guys are already, but please subscribe to his work. He works really hard to provide you the best coverage. He travels to pretty much every game. He asks the right questions. He does everything he needs to do to provide you with a great scene of what's going on in the locker room and what's going on in the court. He's one of the best in the business. So please follow our coverage there. And feel free to reach out if you have any questions or concerns. I just want to get involved in the conversation. I'm back and I want to be able to get involved again with everything too. So thank you. Thank you for following along.
Ali Khan, always a pleasure. Looking forward to doing this again very, very soon with you.
Yeah. Thanks, Jackson.
All right. That is going to do it for today's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed the reunion tour, Locked On Rockets film room. We'll try to get Ali Khan back very, very soon. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also check out the Locked On Rockets YouTube channel, search Locked On Rockets on YouTube, hit subscribe, like, comment, all that good stuff. But for today's episode, that is going to do it. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.